three verses. Again, we stress the words are the word that is there in each of them, that word more. You see, in our relationship with God, we never have to get bored. We used to sing a song at kids' camp. When you're walking with the Lord, you don't get bored. Sing hallelujah, amen. The reason why this life never gets old is because God always has more for us in this life. And that makes sense, because God is limitless. We have telescopes and we have satellites up in space that are seeing more and more of the universe. And because God created all of that, imagine when we see how big the universe, actually how big God is. He is limitless. And so it makes sense that if you are connected with God, if you are plugged into God, there's always going to be more. Next slide, please. The first thing we're going to look at is more life. There will always be more life. You can write these verses down that you see on the screen there. The first is in John chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. And this is that place where Jesus is meeting a woman who has come to draw water from the well. Now, women always used to come together. It's like how women go to the bathroom. Have you noticed that? Doesn't seem like they ever go alone. They go in groups, herds, pairs. And women always used to go to the well together, but this woman was going there separate from all the other women. And it explains why, I'm sure, later on when it talks about how this woman had been married five times and the husband that she was with was not her husband. Now, in that culture, that was not very socially accepted. That was not something that people said, oh, we embrace that lifestyle. That was considered shameful. And so this woman came to the well full of shame, and she met Jesus. And at first she didn't recognize him, except that he was Jewish, and except that he was a man. And she was confused, because Jewish people didn't talk to her kind. The Samaritans were considered separate. They had gone a different direction, and the Jewish people kept them at arm's length. And not only that, but he was a man. And men did not speak to women in this regard. And she was surprised, because he didn't seem like he was other men. He wasn't after what she had to offer. He was offering her what he had to offer. So she knew he's altogether different. But then when he told her all that she had ever done, she perceived that this was not just something human, but supernatural. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, if somebody tells you all the things about your life, it just goes without saying that you're going to think maybe they're a prophet, okay? So that was like an obvious statement. I perceive that you are a prophet because you just told me my whole life story. Then Jesus goes to the real point. And he says these words to her. He says, woman, if you knew who it was who was standing before him, you would ask him for the living water. And he would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. And then she said to him, give me this water. It's an amazing statement that Jesus made. He said, I'm going to give you something that will satisfy you. The reality is, all of us are looking for something to satisfy us, to make sense of our life, to somehow explain why we're here, but also to give us a reason to live. And what Jesus was saying is, you've looked everywhere, woman. You've looked in relationship after relationship. You've looked into all the things that this world has to offer you. You haven't found it, but today it found you. Today, it is coming into your life. And if you receive what is standing before you right now, you will never be thirsty. You know, I've heard people object to this statement, even though it's in the Bible, and Jesus himself said it. They've said, what about those people who tasted Jesus, and then they walked away, and they rejected God later in life, and they walked away? Well, you know what? That doesn't disprove that. This scripture, that proves this scripture. The reality is that those people, the reason why they began to thirst again is because they weren't doing what Jesus said at the beginning. He said, come to me and drink. They stopped drinking. They stopped taking Jesus in, relating with him, getting to know him. The reality is Jesus said, not if you drink now, he said, if you drink, if you come to me, that's a perpetual state of being. He's saying, if you come to me, you will always be satisfied. I met some Christians who seem to be more miserable than people in the world. And I want to say, have you forgotten your relationship with Jesus? It's the thing that satisfies when nothing else does. What Jesus was saying to her is, woman, you have had no life to speak of. And you know it, woman. You know how dissatisfied you are. But I'm going to give you more life. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 13, Jesus made one of the most powerful statements. It's so amazing that he said this statement. He said, and you know the context, if you know the scripture, Jesus said, if you fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, he says, you give, if your son asks for a piece of bread, you won't give him a snake, all of that. Then he says this, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you see that word we're looking at today? How much? Come on again, how much? More. Let me just say something about the first part of that statement. This first part of the statement is really a description of the book of Romans. We've learned in Romans that we're all sinners, no matter how good we are. That's what this first part of the statement says. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, even people who are evil know how to do things that are good. That's why you need to make sure that you don't rely on your own goodness to be saved. Even Hitler, this might freak you out, but even Hitler was good to his mistress and his dog. The reality is, it doesn't matter how much goodness we have in our life. It doesn't change the fact that we, by nature, are sinful, ungodly, enmity with God. We are separated from God. Isn't this the book of Romans in a nutshell? There it is. It's saying our need for God. Even those fathers who know how to give good gifts still need to be saved because of the evil that's in their lives. I've recognized the evil in my life more times than I ever wanted to. I recognize the sin in my life more times. I don't have to be convinced that I'm a sinner in need of God's salvation. I know it. And those people don't want to accept that, those people who don't want to admit to that, I feel bad for them because you can't receive salvation unless you first come to the understanding that you need salvation. It's right there. But then we're going to look at the second part. He said, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What I'm saying is that God promises us life. A different life, an abundant life. Jesus said it, and it's recorded in John 10, the thief, speaking of the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Here's why we can have more abundant life. Because we don't only have earthly parents and earthly relationships and earthly blessings, but in Jesus we have heavenly parents. Amen? We have heavenly relationships. We have heavenly blessings. We have more. That's why we sing and get excited more about in a church about Jesus than we do about the Washington Redskins or the Nationals or anybody else. Amen? Because in them, we might win and we might lose, but at the end of the day, what have we got? But in the Father, we have more. More life. Abundant life. Never thirst again. We have a heavenly parent. We have a heavenly relationship, a heavenly blessing. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that last one, here's this statement. Get this. It says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, I don't know about you, but if God just promised me to be a conqueror, I'd think that was pretty cool. I would think that that was pretty positive. But God says, in him, in his love, you are more than conquerors. So you might say, well, how can you be, what's that about? What's the more than conqueror? I'm not going to tell you if you don't know. We're going to wait until we get there in Romans chapter 8. And that'll probably be about 4 years from now. All right. So if you want to know it, you better study it yourself. Okay. And so I don't know if it'll be. It won't really be that long. But here's the thing. It says more than conquerors. So this life that God promises is the more life. God wants us to have more joy, more peace, more blessings. Amen. More conquering in our lives. So that's this life. Now, if that's not enough, look at the next one. We don't only have more life, but we have more afterlife. Do you remember Romans 5:2? It says, therefore, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you remember that? It says, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You say, what is glory? Is glory that feeling you get, that when you get goosebumps in the worship time or something like that? Well, that's a glorious experience. But let's focus on, that might be kind of an effect of the glory, but let's focus on the glory. We know glory when we think of kings in all their glory, in all their splendor, in all their riches and brilliance, in all their wisdom and might, and some of them lack wisdom, but a lot of times there's some wisdom right here, right? But in all of those things, but in God, think of the brilliance of God. Think of the majesty of God. Think of the riches of God. All of it is glory. It's glorious. We talked a few weeks ago about heaven. We talked about how heaven has the stuff that we prize the most, the material that we prize the most on the earth, I think is gold. And in heaven, that's what they make the streets out of. So heaven is more sublime than anything. So we've got this expectation of heaven. So I've heard people say that heaven is going to be boring. I've literally heard that. I've heard people, I don't want to go to heaven and sit around in a cloud and strum a harp for all eternity. That's boring. I'd rather go to hell and be with all my buddies. Well, there's two problems with that. In hell, you're not with your buddies. You're with yourself in torment for the rest of eternity. Don't go there. Don't. Don't suffer the wrath of God. You don't need to. Jesus died. God loves you so much that he provided a way to rescue you from the wrath that he has against sin. You don't have to die in your sin. You can be set free from that by the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen in the church? So that's where you don't want to go. But they also have a misunderstanding about heaven. Heaven is not about sitting around strumming a harp. That's nowhere in the Bible. There are harps that are talked about in the Bible, but there's nowhere in the Bible that says you're going to sit on a cloud somewhere and you're going to earn your wings and you're going to strum this, this harp on this cloud throughout eternity. That's not what heaven is. Heaven is glorious. I've heard people say, I don't want to go to heaven because once I get there, there's nothing else. What else do you need? That 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this, for we now see him, God, in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see him face to face. Then it says this, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. I've heard people say, that verse is depressing. That verse scares me. And I'll be honest with you, at one point, I even thought it. I kind of thought, what about this? If I'm known now, if I'm known fully by God, and then when I get to heaven, I know the way he knows me, that means there's nothing else to know. There's no other experience to have. Well, that's a silly thought. I admit that I had it, but it's a silly thought. What people are saying is, once I get to heaven, there's going to be no more to look forward to. I've got it all. Why look forward to anything else? Guess what you have to look forward to when you get to heaven? More. More heaven. I'm not tired of you. I've been married to you almost 30 years. And there's nobody I'd rather hang out with than you. Nobody. I want to know you more. I want to hear about your day. I want to hear. Do you see what I'm saying? When it says that we're going to know even as we're known, that knowing is not intellectual. It's experiential. It's saying that you will know, but that doesn't mean you're all going to know all at once. When you get to heaven, there's going to be more to know the longer you're there. How do I know that? Because again, God is limitless. You don't think heaven's going to have some kind of period or exclamation point on it. Do you think it's going to be conclusive? Do you think it's going to be like, okay, been here, done that, bought the t-shirt, what do I do now? It's going to be ever more glorious. We're going to see something, be amazed by it, and then get to see something else. It's not saying that we're going to know it all at once. It's saying that that relationship is going to unfold. It's going to be dramatic in every single moment. I've tried to think of words that describe heaven. I've tried to think of words that describe heaven, and I can't do it. And to be honest with you, there are some words that are there that I'd like to use that I don't know if I could use in public to describe heaven. It's just ecstasy is one of them, because I don't know how people would understand that. But I'm just saying that heaven is going to be so thrilling, so exciting, so ecstatic. Every part of it is going to be like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm seeing this. I can't believe I'm experiencing this. I never deserve this. How did I get here? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Jesus, you're amazing. You're absolutely, totally amazing. I love what Vinny said. He said that there's no words, there's no language, there's no songs that we could sing that adequately express the beauty of God. That's why we need all eternity, because we're going to be discovering it for all eternity. If we're discovering still galaxies and maybe another universe and maybe other dimensions through all of our scientific know-how, imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when we can discover it all, just know it all. Figure it all out. But I don't think it's going to happen all at once. I think it's going to take all eternity. There's more in heaven. Can you say amen? There's more. There's more. Where am I? Did I say what I wanted to say there? Can I move on? Can I? I have your permission. Let's go to the next one. There's not just more to life. There's not just more life, more afterlife, but there's more Christian life, even in the here and now. Let's go back to Romans 5, 9 through 11. Read it in whatever version you have and compare it to the English Standard Version and get the full meaning there. Sometimes it's great to read in other translations because then you can get a fuller meaning, all right? And so listen to this, verse 9 through 11. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. A lot of people read these verses and only think about heaven, but there's a key word in there, now. We haven't fully gotten to heaven. We're getting a taste of heaven in this life when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we receive salvation that Jesus provided, all of those things. We get to know the Father. We're getting a taste of heaven. By the way, if you haven't been in the prayer room, the 24/7 prayer room, you need to get a taste of heaven in that prayer room. If you haven't been to a Tuesday night ministry night or a Friday night worship time, just get a taste. You'll get a little taste of heaven on earth, all right? Hey, can I ask you this? By looking at the Word of God this morning, are we getting a little taste of heaven right here on a Sunday morning? Amen? This is great, right? To know this stuff that God has made known to us. But it's not just for later. It's for right now. You see, what it says here is that Jesus saved us when we were his enemies. He died on the cross for us. When we weren't seeking him, when we weren't serving him, when we didn't even care about him. Maybe even before we were born, Jesus did it. In our sinful state, with all our sins, Jesus just went ahead and did it. That's how much he loves us. But then it makes this rational, logical next step. It says, if he did that then, how much more will we experience life now that we're not his enemies, but his friends? How much more life? We talked last week about this is the difference between just knowing the crucifixion and also knowing the resurrection. We have a lot of power when we look at Jesus suffering on the cross and dying for our sins. But if we also know him and the power of his resurrection, we've got some amazing things that are being experienced in our lives. Amen? That's what Romans says in chapter 8. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will make alive your mortal body. Your mortal body. That means that if you know Jesus, not just, there are some churches, all they have is a crucifix, all they have is a cross with Jesus on it. And I say, that's beautiful. We need to see that. We need to focus on it. But at some point, we need to see an empty cross so we know that Jesus is not only dead, but he's alive. And he's not only alive, but he's now our friend. Do you remember what Jesus said to his followers in John 15? He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Friends. Jesus, we're schmucks. We're going to deny you in a few days. We're still arguing about who's going to be first in the kingdom of God. We're still arguing about who's going to sit on your right hand and your left hand. And you're saying we're your friends? Yes. Why? Not because of what they did for Jesus, but because of what Jesus did and was about to do for them. And the fact that though imperfect, though unworthy, they were receiving Jesus. They were receiving him like babies who couldn't do it all for themselves. But Jesus was doing it all for them. And that's what made them friends of God. Friends of Jesus. We might relate to him like babies. We can't walk like we need to. We can't talk like we need to. But if we're his children, that means we're his friends. Amen. We've been reconciled to God. And so we have some benefits from that. First of all, we have more assurance. If you don't think that the crucifixion sealed your salvation, imagine what the resurrection did. Imagine, it's like I told the story last week about how I was in a fire and a 13-year-old babysitter saved me from that fire at age 4. Was I 2 or 4? I don't remember which one I was right now. I tried to rehearse all the facts last week and now I can't remember because I'm 51 now and I can't remember what I remembered at 50. Okay? But whatever it was, I'm making the point this. If that 13-year-old was willing to go into the fire with me, don't you think she would be willing to babysit me again? Don't you think she'd be willing to get me what I need? Don't you think she'd be willing to kind of play with me when I needed to have somebody to play with or watch a show or learn to read or whatever it is? The point is, if we know Jesus through his death, how much more should we know him through his life? And the more we know him, the more we know that we're saved by his blood and saved by his sacrifice. Can you say amen? More! More! So don't get stale in this Christian life. Don't lose hope. Don't throw away your faith. Don't do what that church did in Ephesus. Don't lose your first love. Just fall. You remember that song? I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Go ahead, Jeanette. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over. He gets sweeter. He gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep over and over and over and over. Amen. Can we give her a hand? You got to just keep falling in love with Jesus. Jesus should never get old. If Jesus is getting old, you're too old. You're the has-been. Jesus is alive and well. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. You got to keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Guess what? I still have more to this sermon. And I don't know if I ran out of time already, but let's try. Let's go. Next one is more Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. This is awesome, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 10 says, but as it is written, write these verses down if you have a chance. Look them up this week. Let God speak to you. Really drive this message home into your life. Let it change you. Amen? So here's what it says. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. No eye seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined, all that God has loved them, these things God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. You know what this verse tells me? Again, it tells me the same thing. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. That is equivalent to more. Stuff you haven't seen, you're going to see. Stuff you haven't heard, you're going to hear. Stuff you haven't imagined in your heart, you're going to experience. And it's going to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. When I was 12 years old, I was praying at a youth camp for my dad to be healed. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you have heard it many times. I was praying for my dad to be healed. And God spoke to me by his Spirit and said, I'm going to heal your dad. When I opened my voice to say, I love you, God, another language flowed out. And a 12-year-old boy prayed for 2 hours. Now that's in itself a miracle. I've never seen a 12-year-old boy pray for 2 hours without being filled with the Spirit, okay? And so God came and I prayed and I didn't even realize the passage of time. And I knew that God was going to heal my dad. I just knew it. But you know what I'm excited about? I don't just look back. How many years ago was that? Whoa, 39 years ago. And think about the Holy Spirit coming to me and revealing what my eyes hadn't seen, what my ears hadn't heard. By the way, if you haven't heard the rest of the story, 3 months my dad was healed of an incurable disease that's still incurable today. And doctors in New Jersey and Philadelphia and New York City couldn't explain it. And his doctor was an atheist, Jewish by heritage, but atheist by religion, wrote on his chart, miracle, no other explanation. He didn't write no other explanation. He just wrote miracle because there was no other explanation. So here's the thing. I'm excited about that 39 years ago, but I'm just as excited and some days even more excited about what the Holy Spirit is saying today. I'm more excited about what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. On Tuesday night, I brought a missionary who missed his flight. They messed up his luggage, and therefore he missed his flight on the way back to Africa. And he called me up and said, I'm at Dulles. I'm stuck here. And I said, I'll be there in about 4 hours. I got to finish some stuff, so you have to wait there. But if you wait there, it'll be worth it because we'll take care of you. We'll give you a place to stay, and we got some good experiences for you. I brought him here, and I asked him, do you want to go to ministry night? And he said, yeah, I'd like to go. And we brought him to ministry night. And this guy said, that all these last few weeks, everyone he's been talking to, he says, please pray for me because I'm a new missionary. I don't have the money. I don't have the insurance or the money to get malaria drugs. And I'm going as a U.S. guy to a place where I'm not used to the food and all of those things. And so a lot of people get malaria drugs and they just take it and they make sure that they're okay. He said, I can't afford it. Please pray for me that God would protect me and I wouldn't get sick. Amen. While we were there, my new friend Ivan was praying in the Holy Spirit. And I brought up this man, Zach, and I said, Zach, could we pray for Ivan, could we pray for Zach? And he said, sure. And he started praying for him, and he says, I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit has said to me. The Holy Spirit has pointed out your stomach to me, and the Holy Spirit has told me, you're not sick, but you're concerned you're going to be sick, and we're going to pray for you that God would protect you supernaturally. Tears began to go down his face because he knew that God's Holy Spirit had heard that prayer. A man that never met him before. He didn't have an earphone here hearing secrets from somebody in a back room. He didn't have anyone with notes passing them to him. I didn't even know this about Zach. Nobody there knew it, but the Holy Spirit did. The point that I'm making to you is I'm excited about the Holy Spirit today as I was 39 years ago. I want more. More. Of God's Holy Spirit, more of his word, more of his ministry in my life and in this church. Can you say amen? And speaking of the Holy Spirit, isn't that what we learn in Romans 5:5? That's the one. You remember where it says, hope does not put us to shame? I'm going to talk really fast, so you have to listen really fast, okay? Because I want to get the rest of this in. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you see the Holy Spirit? Hey, better know the Father, better know the Son, but you better know the Holy Spirit if you want to experience life, full Christian life. Here's what Jesus said, and it's recorded in John 16, verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Just say what I think he said. If those guys were from somewhere around here or from somewhere where I'm from, I think this would be their response. Say, what? What did you just say? Could you come again? Did you just say it's better if you go away? How could that be possible? Here's what Jesus says. It's better for you. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. And he lets us know who the helper is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is better for you, Jesus said, that I leave. We need more of this Christian life, and we're going to get it when we have more of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? How many of you are like, Holy Spirit, give me yourself and everything that you have? Come on, how many of you? Say, Holy Spirit, I want you. I want everything that you have for me. Speak to me. because that's what I need. And I need more life, more afterlife, more Christian life. The next one is more Bible. We'll go through these quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. Here's what the King James says, and I love the King James, but it says this: for the word of God is quick. And I always used to read that and go, wow, the word of God is really fast. But they're using an archaic term that we don't use in that way anymore. The word quick for them is living and active. What that's saying is the word of God is life. It's alive. I don't know about you. I've been reading the Bible for a long time now. Because I'm a second generation Christian. That doesn't mean that I'm Christian because my parents are Christian. It means that they gave me an opportunity to be Christian much younger because they became Christian. You hear me? All right? So I became a Christian early in life, so I've been reading the Bible a long time. It never is enough. It never gets stale. I read more. I want more. I understand more. I see more. I hear more. There's times that I read a verse that I've read maybe hundreds of times. I don't know. But I read it and it's like I never saw it before. It applies to my life in a new way. I have new understanding. That's what I'm saying. This Bible, the Bible is alive. We need more Bible. Can you say amen? We need more Bible in our lives. We don't need the Bible on our shelves. We need the Bible in our hearts, in our minds. We need the Word of God. It is alive and active. And then it says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means if you want to know yourself, you better know the Bible. If you want to understand the world, you better know the Bible. If you want to know the Christian life, you better know the Bible. You want to know more about heaven. You want to have heaven more of a reality in your life. You need to read the Bible, amen? You need to study the book. Don't suffer a guilt complex because you're not reading it enough. Stop that. Just start reading it. And when you forget to read it, don't wallow in pity. I forgot to read my Bible. God must not care about me. Just stop all the pity parties. Stop all the sympathizing with yourself and just read it. Read it when you don't feel like reading it. Read it when you haven't read it in a year. Read it when you haven't read it in a week. Don't get focused on not reading it. Just read it. Can you say amen? You need it. I didn't mean to do that, but I'm going to get cute with you. Read it because you need it. Is there anything else that rhymes with that? Read it because you need it, because... yeah, you got to feed it. You got to feed your life. Amen? Amen. If any of you want to get more cute, you can do that later on. All right, here's the next one. More of the Father, more of Jesus. And this is where I love the book of Hebrews. I love the whole Bible. Amen? But you know what the book of Hebrews says? That Jesus is more than prophets, more than angels, more than Moses. His covenant is more than the first covenant. If you want to, you got to know the Father. You got to know Jesus. We sing songs like more than enough, more than anything, more than life itself. Well, you know what? If he really is more than life itself, if he's really more than enough for you, then you're going to want more of him. Amen? So get more in relationship with the Father, more in relationship with Jesus. Here's the next one. More grace, more faith. More grace, more faith. You know what James chapter 4, 6 says? It says we're going to be tempted, we're going to be tried. But then it says this: but God gives us more grace. That means the more you're tempted, the more you're tried. I've heard Christians excuse themselves. Well, the reason why I sinned is because I couldn't help it. Devil made me do it. I'm too weak. That's not what the Bible says. If you have sinned as a Christian, stop making excuses and go to God for more grace. God didn't promise you a defeated Christian life. He promised you a victorious Christian life. Don't say, well, everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is sleeping around. Everyone else is getting divorced. Everyone else is doing this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to name some of the horrible sins of our culture. We know what they are, amen? We know what they are. I'm not even going to name them because you know what they are. If you have any understanding of the holiness of God, you know what they are. And sometimes you say, I'm just going to do it because everyone else is doing it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he gives us more grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 20 says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It's not faith to give into this culture. It's not faith to say, well, I'm not married and I wanted to be married, so I'll just go and find the next one that has two legs and I'll marry that one. It's not enough to believe that. It's not enough to give into the culture and not take care of your parents or your babies or whatever it is. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. God wants to give us more grace and wants to give us more faith. Amen? Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says that we are saved by grace, that we are saved by the good news of Jesus from faith to faith. It's faith that is now and faith that is in the future and at the end. 1 Peter 1, 7 says your faith is more precious than gold. If you give up on your life, if you give up on the Christian life, if you give up on Jesus, give up on God, give up on your family, any of those things, you're giving up on grace and you're giving up on faith. You're essentially giving up on life, the life that God has for you. But God has more grace and more faith for you. The last two things that I want to say are this, and I know that that's a big heavy and some of you are processing that about yourself personally and saying, wow, I need to not give up on grace. I need to not give up on faith. We'll have prayer for you in a moment, but let's finish here. Let's look at the next one, more ministry. Can I read this to you? How many of you let me read this to you? Philippians 1, verse 23 through 24. By the way, whenever I ask you if I can do something, I'm expecting you to say yes, amen? Like you don't even have a chance to say no, right? It's like one of those things, like what are we supposed to say, no? But I just expect the yes, and I think that I expect that it can be given. Anyway, Philippians 1, 23, 24, Paul said to the Philippian believers, I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. You know what Paul is saying there is? God has more ministry for me. Paul did a lot of ministry, and he probably could have said, I've done enough. But he looked around at him at the need and said, God has more. I wasn't planning on preaching Sunday, but God said, no. There's more. There's more ministry. There's more to do for God. There's more ways to serve God. There's more opportunities to serve God. The sad thing is that some of us give up just before our breakthrough. Some of us give up just before the time that God is going to bless us in a mighty way. I know that this, some people give up in the darkest hour, even though that it's always darkest just before the light comes. The reality is that we can't just give up. God didn't rescue us so that we could be rescued. That's not the only purpose. That's only part of it. God rescued us to get us back up on our feet and have us be able to go and to do what he's called us to do. Amen? When God gives us new grace and new faith, washes us clean of our sins, he doesn't just deliver us to deliver us. Ask the Israelites. They were out of Egypt because Egypt at that time was enslaving them for 400 years. And they went out and went, woo, we're free. And then for 40 years, they just stayed right there. But God said, no, that's not why I saved you. That's not why I delivered you. I delivered you for more. Say more. More. I delivered you to go into the promised land, to take possession of it, to receive the blessings of the promised land. That's what I have for you. I have more for you. And that leads us to the last one. I believe that we can apply this to our own church. There's more for Embassy Church. Come on. How many of you have some faith this morning that that's true? If you do, can you say it? There's more for Embassy Church. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, God is able, according to the scripture, to do more than all we ask or imagine according to his Holy Spirit. According to the Holy Spirit's power. And where is it God deposited? Within us. The church after Pentecost was like,
wow, that was a rush. Fire came from heaven. All of us were speaking in other languages. We're going to remember this forever, and that's all we're going to talk about. That's not what the Jerusalem church did. You know what they did? They moved their shop by God's direction to Antioch, and they spread into the whole Gentile world. A bunch of Jewish believers spread into the Gentile world. That was unthinkable at the time. They went to nations. They were the ones who took the message of Jesus and eventually changed the world and brought it from BC to AD. These were some powerful individuals. Why were they powerful? Because God had put his power within them and said, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. God had more for them than Jerusalem. He had Antioch for them. He had the rest of the world for them, the nations for them. God has more for us. I believe that with all of my heart. And guess what? I'm saying that at a high water mark in our church. 12 years ago, the Lord told me, you're going to have 24/7 prayer in that building. And over the last 4 years, God said exactly how it was going to happen. And we went public with it. Whatever God said, we made it known publicly. We even changed our name to apply to it. We changed the name of our building to apply to it. We took concrete steps in anticipation of not only what God was doing, but how God said he was going to do it. Guess what? God did it. In this building, right now, in that house of prayer room right there, there's prayer going on. There was early this morning. There was last night. There will be today. There will be tonight. There will be tomorrow. Prayer and worship going up before God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God made it happen. He said there would be a training center here. And over the last 4 years, he told us how he would do it. And he said, this is how I'm going to do it. Right now, there's a training center. They're gone for 2 weeks. All the students are gone for 2 weeks. They're going to Pennsylvania, then Virginia Beach. There are some phenomenal things that are happening. And 4 of our church people are in that training center. And guess what? Some of you, a small percentage, I'm sure, but some of you probably will go through it as well in future times. There will be others new to Embassy Church who will go through it as well. All of that God said to us 12 years ago, and over the last 4 years, he told us how it would happen. It's happening. So you know what I want to do? I want to go to bed. I want to take the rest of my life as a vacation. No, I don't want to give up now at this high water mark, because what this says to me is if God kept his promise and fulfilled his prophecies to this point, imagine what's going to happen in the next 12 years. Because 12 years ago, we weren't free as a church. We had to uproot some things. We had to pass through some things. There was some divisiveness in this church over a 40-year period of time, off and on. And God had to deal with all that. You say, Pastor, don't talk about Christians and the negative things about it. One of the reasons why we don't win people to Jesus is because we all act perfect. But the good news is that Jesus saves imperfect people. So sometimes one of the greatest ways I witness to people is I tell them how I almost lost my marriage as a pastor. And how Jesus pointed out what true Christianity was to me when I thought I had figured it all out. The reality is we're letting our dirty laundry out there because Jesus knows how to handle our dirty laundry. Amen? And the reality is 4 years ago, all these things were dealt with, came out. We dealt with it. It was a very difficult time for us to go through. But God did something new in this place. God broke free out of some things that were in our past. God gave us an ability to move into the future. Now look at how God's blessing. So you might go, well, now it's all over. Let's go ahead and vacation. Let's go take a long trip. No. All the more, I want to be around to see what God does next. If God saved us when we were his enemies, so to speak, how much more now that we're his friends? How much more is God going to do at Embassy Church now than we've ever seen before all the time through all of our 107 years of history? The blessing of God has been in this place. But there were some times that blessing was somehow hindered, somehow blocked. When God deals with that and that is broken free, then I say, you know what? Not only are we going in the right direction as believers, but we've got clear sailing, and we're picking up some speed, and we're seeing God put some fuel behind us and some prayer and ministry and training and all those things. So you know what? I'm looking forward to August getting some time of rest, only because I can't wait to gear up for September and see what God's going to do now.
I believe that if God healed an AIDS person right here at this altar just a few years ago, I believe that God's going to do that in an escalated form right now. I believe that God can heal AIDS, cancer, that he can raise the dead, that he can give sight to the blind, he can make the deaf hear, he can raise us from our sins, clean us up, give us brand new life, help us to dance and be joyful about the good news of Jesus. I believe that God is able to do all that. I also believe that God is able to take a church and fill that church so much with his love, his power, and his wisdom that the whole city doesn't look the same anymore. That God blesses a whole city, that the crime rate goes down. Fathers are brought back to their children, children to their fathers. Women are taken care of, children are taken care of. I believe that God can do that. I believe that, I just have to believe this, not only because God said it, but because of what we experienced over the last 12 years, 4 years, and more recently, just this year, I believe that the best is yet to come. This place has experienced some great things in the past since 1907, but right now, I believe there's more. There's not only more to experience, but we're going to experience more than even that was experienced in generations before. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it because God's Word says it. I believe because the Holy Spirit says it. And now I believe it because our experience says it. So I'm excited. I'm excited about more of this life, more of this afterlife, more of this Christian life, more of the Father, more of the Son, more of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about more grace, more truth, but I'm excited also about more ministry and more Embassy Church to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand together and just pray, okay? We're going to pray over church. We're going to pray over lives right now, and we're just going to commit it all to God. Vinny and the team, just come and lead us in that song, Jesus Overcame, and then we will overcome, okay? Just lead us in that song that Jesus overcame and we will overcome. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for coming to the end of this service. And I must confess for several reasons. One is to allow some others to minister over the next rest of this month and to have some time to both physically and in study rest and all of those things. I'm excited about that. But I'm also excited coming to the close of this service because of how special, Lord, our time is going to be tomorrow for David Haddon, God, and his family and our church family. Lord, I thank you, God, that is before us, that you have something more for us tomorrow, God. And Lord, I thank you for all those things that represent my experience and our collective experience in this church. But Lord, I'm also, and maybe even more so, excited about the more that you have for every single one of us individually in our families. That there's more to experience in you. There's more to experience through you in ministry to others, God. There's more to experience of your blessings and your grace and your faith, God, that you give to us. There's more, Lord, to experience, God, of miracles and healings and all these things to your glory, Father. Lord, there's more to experience in our finances, God. Lord, it is not the end of the story right now, God. It's not the end of the story for any of us in any of our relationships. There's more, God. Lord, through faith in you, there's always more, Father. Lord, we're excited, God, not just about what you have for us now in our lives and in our Christian life, but Lord, in the afterlife. God, we're excited, God, that you have provided a way for us to know that we are saved and to know that we have eternal life. It's not what we make up. It's what your Bible says. Your Bible, Lord, just so emphatically declares that these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. So, Lord, before we pray for anybody, for anything else, we want to pray for somebody for eternal life. We want to pray, God, according to your Holy Spirit, that, Father, just like many of us have received salvation already through Jesus, through his love for us and the work of the cross and the empty tomb, through the sacrifice of his perfect life for our imperfect lives, through the suffering and shame of the cross and the taking of sin, our sin, upon him, Lord, so many of us in this place have received salvation. And we're so excited about it, but we're not just excited, we're also desirous of others to receive that same salvation. So Lord, if there is somebody here today who has not received eternal life through Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would change that right now, God. And that they would change it right now, that they would reach out to you and place their faith in you, Jesus. The Son of God was given by the Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would start a relationship today with yourself and that individual, God. Father, be their Father. Let them be your child in relationship with you. And Lord, if there's somebody who once had a relationship with you but has allowed themselves to get away from your grace and to get away from the faith that you bring into their lives, we don't only want a newcomer, we want a homecomer, God. We want somebody who has gone away from you and has maybe stopped listening to you and obeying you, and as a result of it, is no longer in relationship with you. Lord, we want, God, the one who is new to come to you, but also the one who is so old that they don't even have any relationship with you anymore. So, Father, we pray that you would not only bring faith and grace into people's lives, but you would renew faith and grace in somebody's life here today. In Jesus' name, God. Before we pray for others, we just want to pray for you that need to come into relationship with God, to receive salvation and to receive eternal life. And before we pray for somebody else, I need to know before I pray that there's somebody here who says, I need that prayer. Because when you indicate by a raised hand in just a moment that you need that prayer, and then you put your hand down, we're going to go to prayer right now for you, and we're going to give you a chance to pray. Standing where you are, and between you and God, we're going to give you that chance to pray. We're not going to call you out. You can call yourself out. You can go to somebody later on and say, I received Jesus today. We'd love to have you come and do that with us. And maybe tell some family members or friends and all of that. That's appropriate. But before you do that, let's just make sure that you have that opportunity to do it with God directly. So if that's you here and you want to receive Jesus and receive eternal life through Jesus, and you know you need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and to turn away from a life without God to a life with God and receive Jesus in eternal life, I just want to give you a chance to lift up your hand right now. Would you do that? If there's somebody here who says, I need to receive Jesus, I need to receive eternal life, just lift up your hand so I can see it. Just go ahead and do it if you're here today and need salvation through Jesus. Lift up your hand so I can see it and pray for you. Praise God. Anybody at all? Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we trust, God, without a hand raised, that, Lord, all of us have received salvation. So, Lord, I pray that you, oh God, would just do whatever work you want to do in our hearts, God, to just let us know, God, that we have received salvation. Once again, let us know that, Lord, and rejoice in it, Father God. That, Lord, we're saved and we don't have to suffer the penalty of our sins. Jesus, thank you for that, God. Lord God, we also now pray, Father, for all of us, God, that you, oh Lord, would help us to receive the more that you have for us as people in life, as people in the Christian life. All of these things, God, as people in ministry, as people in Embassy Church, Lord, we pray, God, that we would receive more by your grace. And through our faith that you give to us as a gift, Lord, we pray, God, that through faith and grace, that, Father, you, oh God, would bring more into our lives. Would you just pray right now? If you want to lift up your hands and just pray maybe over something specific, I'm just going to give everyone an opportunity to pray and say, God, I want more. I need more. I need more in my family. If that's your prayer, pray it. I need more in my life. I need more of the Bible. Whatever it is that you need, just go ahead and pray it right now. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord God, for these prayers, God. Thank you, Lord God. More, Father God. Lord, if you're this good, God, we even want more of you, God. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, with all these blessings, God. Lord, we're like kids, God, who eat ice cream. Lord, we taste it. We want more, God. Lord, we pray, Jesus. You're more tasty than ice cream, Jesus. So, Lord, we're like kids. We say when we taste a little bit of you, we just want more of you, Lord. We want more of your Holy Spirit, God. We want more, God, of the Father. We want more of you, Heavenly Father. We want to relate with you. Even sometimes when we can't relate with each other, we want to relate with you, God. We want you to change our lives, God. Change our relationships, Father. Lord, I pray for more ministry, God, for more of your plans and purposes for Embassy Church, God. Lord, I pray that this church will be a blessing through prayer for all churches around us, God. Lord, for all synagogues, for all temples, God, for all the people around us, Lord. We want to pray that people discover Jesus who don't know him. And those who know him would know him more and would make him known even more. God, we want to pray, Lord, especially for those churches that are your body, God, that lift up your name and are in relationship with you. We want your blessing. God, we want you to bless us in prayer so we can be a blessing to them, Father. We want you to lift up the city, God. Lord, we want you to lift up your word in Northwest, God, in Northeast, God, in Southwest, in Southeast, Lord God. We want to see your glory, God, in Maryland and Virginia, God. Lord, we want to see your glory, God. We want to, Lord, for all that you've done for us already, we want to see what you have more for us, God. We want to see what's next, God. We want to see what you have, God. It's from Sunday to Sunday, God. And Lord, throughout the week, Father. Lord, from month to month, year to year, whatever time we have on this earth, God, we want to see more, God. We want to see more, God, of ministry, Father God, of worship, God, of prayer, Father. Lord, of intercessory prayer, God, of celebration and worship, God, we want to see more. We want to see more miracles, God, more healings, God, for your glory. We want to see more miracles for your glory, God. We want to see more encounters with you, Father. God, we want to see more deliverances, God, more people free, God, by your blood, Jesus. God, we want to see more, Father God, more people coming to know you, God, more people being discipled, God. Lord, we want to see more, God, life groups, God, cell groups, Lord. We want to see more encounter weekends, more consecrations, God, more breakthroughs, God, whatever it is that you have for us, God. Lord, we want to see more for your glory, God. Father, take us, God. We want to see more blessings, God. Thank you for how you've taken care of this building, especially in the last year, God. And we want to see more, God, Lord, of you providing, God, Lord, for this place to be what you want it to be, serving your purpose, God. Father, we want to see more, Lord God, for your glory, God. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We only pray that you would do more, God. Lord, do more, Father God. And we'll give you praise, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship before we're done, okay? Vinny, just lead us and let's worship the Lord. Amen.